So today, Anne and I just want to share a few stories. They're not stories about us, although we'll probably figure in them a little bit. But they are stories about God. And hopefully we're only going to tell fresh ones. So we're aiming at really just this year. Although I think there might be one or two pictures that are a little bit older than that. But our aim is to just share with you what God is up to and what we see Him doing. And so the first heading up there says God's timing. And I went back in mid-January.
There's some people that don't know you.
Anne says some people don't know who I am. I'm Ron. Hi.
Hi.
Who are you? Sorry. For those people who don't know, Anne and I are from this church, but we've been working in Uganda for a number of years now, and we have a school that we established in 2013, and this year we have begun a teacher training college as well. And so, there you go. I went back in mid-January and had a lot of work to do to finish, in particular, a girls' dormitory for some young ladies to move into come mid-February. We only had about 4 weeks. And last year I sort of said, I need some help. I'm not going to be able to do that. And so I sort of put it out there to my friend John Fuchs and suggested maybe he'd find a way where he could come and give me a hand for a couple of weeks. So I asked for John. God is amazing, and God gave me John and Andrew and David and Tim and Duncan. And so 5 guys came with me, and we managed. Hopefully you can see there, Andrew is the one standing near the front, and Duncan is in the high vis down the corridor. And those guys worked incredibly hard. And we managed to get an amazing amount of work done and got the building finished in time for the students to move in, which was just awesome. And, you know, that was a lot of hard work. Andrew came in most nights in the last week and would just sit with his fingers like this because he did all of the tiling, or lots of the tiling. And just scraping his fingers along on cement and tiling and stuff. And yeah, the skin was worn off the end of all of his fingers by the end of that. And he would just have to sit like, and I think Duncan was pretty much the same. A few of our local guys sort of thought they're a bit soft. And then they did some of the tiling and found very quickly that they were sitting like that with their fingers all wrapped up as well. It was just an awesome thing to have them come and to do all of that work. Tim did a lot of welding. David fitted all of the door frames and all of those things. I hesitate to show David what's happened to those door frames since the timber has gone like that. And there are some adjustments. Nothing about what David did. It's just the way timber is over there. I think that's that's inside one of the. Well, what will be one of the boys' dormitory rooms, but at the moment it's our classroom. There are not schools or colleges anywhere in Uganda that we've seen that have facilities like this. You know, we've made it upmarket because we need the students who come in to feel good about themselves, because generally people who go into teaching are considered to be failures. They're the ones who are no good. And so we wanted to change that perception that they would have of themselves. And part of that is by giving them good facilities in which to live and work. Over to Anne.
God's timing is just amazing. We went over knowing that we would need to get our working permits renewed. And we thought that we had plenty of time because we started a process in August last year where we were transitioning from being a company limited by guarantee, which is just a not-for-profit company into an NGO, simply because we needed to meet the requirements of the government and so that the working permits would be easy. So we started in August. It took a long time. Unfortunately, Uganda is a very corrupt country, and if you hand over money, you can get things done quickly, but we have made a decision not to do that, and so we have to show a lot of patience. And I think this time last year, or a bit past this time last year when we were heading back, someone said, "I really believe God's going to give you patience." Well, he's needed to, because we've needed to have it to wait for the NGO. So we managed to get our NGO status, and our work permit was expiring. And in fact, it did expire. So, but we found out that we had 1 week's grace, and within that 1 week of grace, the period that we were allowed, we were able to put in our application. And once your application is in, you're okay. You're not going to be in terrible trouble, but you just don't travel a country where you might need to show your passport, because then you might be in big trouble. But so just through that whole process, we saw God's hand, because some of you knew me before Uganda, and you would know that I was a person who wanted things to happen like this in a certain way, and it should happen, and it should happen the way I want it to happen. And then when it doesn't, that I would be quite nervous and perhaps lose sleep. Well, probably, yes, would lose sleep. But in this whole process, God was just holding us, and he just gave us the grace. People around us would speak words sometimes, and they'd say, "Oh no, what will you do? Where will you go? What will you do?" And we just needed to know, shut down those words, because those words were not going to be helpful. They were not going to be the hallelujahs that we needed to sing. The hallelujahs we needed to sing were "God has this in control. If we need to leave the country, we need to leave the country, and that will be what he provides for us. But if we don't, that's all the better." And we didn't need to, and we got our work permits with 1 week to spare before we came back. Who said you needed more time? Oh, sorry. Oh, deary me. And another thing that's happened is that as a primary teacher training college, we needed to organise to be with another college, and in order to be able to for our students to sit examinations. And so we had good connection with Ginger PTC, which is the government teacher training college, and we went and saw them, and the principal was very friendly, very kind and welcoming, and she has been very helpful to us with documents. But she said, "You can't register your students from here because we have too many. So you need to go to this other college in another town about 20 minutes away." So we organised to go there, got the phone number, rang, and the man said to me, the principal said, "Okay, you can come in the next half hour." Now, those things don't normally happen in that sort of time in Uganda. Things are normally in African time, but this was in a half an hour we needed to be there. But even in that, we didn't have lessons that either of us were teaching that morning, so we were able to go that morning. And that's God's timing. That's not our timing. There's nothing we could have done to make that happen. He simply said that, and that's God's timing. And so we get to the place and we go into the principal's office, and we have never felt so much favoured. We went in, and the man actually had been the deputy principal at the Ginger PTC and remembered us from when we had done some training for students. And so he then was very kind to us. He was very positive about what we're doing. He was very positive about education, about the changes needed. And he wasn't asking us for money, which was also really pleasant. Not that anybody ever does that openly. There's subtle ways that happens. So, and he arranged to join us with another college. And so we have built a connection with Walagogo Primary Teacher Training College, and we will be able to have our students sit the exams there. What was really nice is in that picture you can see the man on the right. He is a doctor of philosophy, and he's done that in education. He's an older Ugandan man, a real gentleman. God is amazing. That man had incredible... We had favour because we were Australian, And because in the 70s, early 70s, some teachers went from Uganda to Canberra and got some help. And so he was very excited about the fact that we were Australian, and that gave us acceptance and welcoming, and we look forward to, he really wants to bring about innovation in teacher training, which is what we're about, and he wants to meet with us as a group to see how we can bring innovation from the ground up, because it's not happening from the top down. So that's really exciting. We have also seen God's provision. God's timing and provision sometimes look very similar, so some of that story was about provision as well. But God provides in all sorts of funny ways. Swahili teaching, for goodness sake, who's that standing there in front of that class? That couldn't possibly be me. I don't speak Swahili. Well, God finds a way, and he gives you a passion to do something and finds a way for it. And for the first 8 weeks of this term, before we left, I was the teacher of Swahili. I'm not going to even, I never ever, and I mean never ever, pronounce the words for the students. I always showed them what they needed to say, because it is actually, it is a Bantu language, and Luganda and Lusoga, which is the main languages in our area, are also Bantu language backgrounds, so they are similar. So they know how to say things, and I basically was able to provide them with things. But because of situations in the past, I actually had the facilities that I needed to be able to find a good vocabulary to start with, and we went through that, and then the proper Swahili teacher, who was busy over March, and that's why she couldn't start till after Easter. So the students have now been able to get a good background in the vocabulary and in some of the concepts of it, and then they will be able to get it finalised with this teacher, and she will go on teaching, but we'll just keep working with the vocabulary. So God provides, you know, he suddenly helps you find the right thing on the internet, because the internet has everything, but sometimes it's very hard to find, but he can find it, and he did.
Another aspect of God's provision for us was in providing a young lady who was a great help to us. Her name's Faith Heimlich. She's from the USA, from Seattle. She had actually come to Uganda a couple of years ago when Liam Swain and Cam Birchall and those other guys came over and did the trip that they did. And we met Faith then. And last year we just got an out-of-the-blue message from Faith saying, "Hey, I've graduated now. I'm thinking about maybe coming to Uganda for some time next year. Would I be of any use?" And now Faith has just graduated from, or did earlier last year, from uni. She is a PE teacher and studied lots of other stuff, including early childhood education and all those sorts of things. And so we said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And so Faith came along. She had got some of the materials from us beforehand, so she had a bit of an idea as to what it was she was going to be doing. She came and taught some of the classes in the teachers' college, but way beyond that, Faith brought just incredible community around her. She just has a way of drawing people into doing things, and she is a soccer player. She loves playing football, and so one way that she built community was by organising some after-work football matches. And so it sort of started as a bit of a one-off, but it then became regular, so that it was Tuesday and Friday nights after work. So she would be out there, our administrator from the school and Engaging Education would be out there, our librarian would be out there, our bus driver would do the run really quickly on those days so that he got back in time. And most of our builders would be out there. They've been slaving away all day, laying bricks and doing all sorts of things. But come 5:30, they'd hit the football pitch as well. And then we had not only the people working with us, but people coming in from outside. There were people from our church were coming out from Ginger. You know, it's quite a distance away. And there were people just from around the local area as well that would come. They have uniforms and everything. It got quite huge. That was one aspect of the community building. She was also great at building community amongst the children in the school and did that not so much through the football but through running. So she started off, she wanted to go for a run and then found a couple of kids who thought they wanted to go for a run with her. And so a community built up within the kids from the school as well of just getting involved and doing something. And it was just a great thing to see the way that she could draw people to herself and just encourage them. Now, those things are continuing. The football is still going on. The kids who have been running will keep running. Some of them were so keen that early on she said to a couple of them that they wanted to run on Saturday morning as well. She said, oh, yeah, that's okay. So 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's still dark until 10 to 7, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, there's a bang on our front door. Anne got up, not me, of course, because my hearing's not so good, I don't hear those things. So Anne got up to find those two kids at the door. Oh, we're here to go running with Aunt Faith. Aunt Faith was still sound asleep, and so we had to send them away. But just the enthusiasm that she was able to engender in the people around her was just incredible. And we look forward to her coming back, but she was an incredible gift of God for us.
So we had the building at the start of the year, and thanks to the guys that came, it was ready. And last year we had been to the schools to let them know that there was going to be a teacher training college starting and that they would be welcomed. And then we have the building, we have some people come, but their results weren't good enough. And we had one student and we talked together and we're thinking, how many do we need in order to make this happen this year? Or should we just wait till next year? What's God saying? So we came up with a number and we said, okay. And that week, by the end of the week, I think we had 6 students. Is that right, Ron? Yep. So we had 6 students, and that was the number. And that sounds very small, I know, but it's been exciting. We now have 9 students. We have 5 girls and 4 boys, and it's been really exciting for us to see why it was good to have 9 students, not 40, because we have been able to really work on what is good. We have been able to get to know them. We've been able to really invest in them, and we will continue to do so. And we can see how God has provided those 9 students. In that, those 9 students, we have a number that have what we call bursaries, like sponsorship, to help with the fees and the expenses for them. And we are just so grateful. This is the hard bit. Those kids, if they weren't doing what they're doing, would be sitting at home with good results from their year 10 and no future. One of them, we came across because of a friend from church, and she'd moved to where she was living, and this lady had come to her and said, can I wash your clothes? And so she went to wash. So she said yes, and her daughters came to wash the clothes when they weren't at school and help her out for a little money, which was helping the family eat. And this particular girl is incredibly clever. She performed very well at year 10, and she has been able to now have a future. And that's God. That's not God's provision for us. That's God's provision for her. And through her, it's going to be God's provision for many children, because she's going to make a great teacher. And that's what we're excited about. We're excited about these young people that basically had no hope. No hope of doing anything, not because of parents not caring, not because of parents not wanting to give them a future, but because that's their circumstances. Uganda has a huge unemployment level, and people have to scrape to find money in all sorts of different ways. And the area that we live in is incredibly poor. One of our students came, and he literally was in class with clothes that were torn and had holes and that would not normally be worn anywhere. And I say that not in a condemning way, but Ugandans are very proud of looking nice and putting on nice clothes. And when I say that, they can wear white clothes and don't get them brown because they care. Whereas Ron and I, 2 seconds after we've walked out the door and we've wiped our hands on our clothes, they're not clean. But Ugandans do care. And this young man came and didn't have clothes that were really suitable to wear in a classroom. And so, again, we were able to provide clothes. I think they actually came from some of those guys that were there, some of them, because... And then when you put them in a bag, you give them to somebody else so that he can get them without any shame. But that's the sort of situation that we're talking about, and we're just so thankful for the provision of people prepared to support those kids and the kids at the school, as well as the provision of those students who are going to make great teachers. We're really excited. They are looking different. And just as a little aside with that, they Ugandan education is about failure. And if you do well, you're just told, well, why didn't... You must keep going and you must do better. It's always about that. And so after a couple of weeks, the students in the college started having a bit of a joke with us, the white people, Faith, Ron and I, because we had certain expressions and they'd laugh and they'd say, oh, well done, good job, doing well, keep it up, because that's what they were hearing. And we're just really excited that in 2 years they're going to hear those words and those encouragement a heap of times. And then when they go into the classroom, that's exactly what they're going to do, because they won't know any different anymore. And that's the exciting thing. So that's God's provision, and we're just really excited by what God's doing in that way. And that's in our little community. Sorry, not that one. That's in our little community of the school and the teacher training college that we find God's provision. We find lots of things quite tricky. We try not to talk too much about them because we don't want to give them airtime. We want to give airtime to what God's doing. But there's lots of things that can be quite tricky. And they can try our patience. They can try our faith in humanity, to be honest. And so we need desperately to have people around us. We really appreciate the prayers of people here, and we will never underestimate those, not ever. But for us, we needed a church community, and we have found that church community. We have found a place that is called Worship Harvest Church. It has a main church in Kampala, and then it has 13 different locations. And those locations are all basically similar, and it can expand rapidly because they centralise things like the PowerPoints in every location will be the same, the preacher will be different. So how they preach it will be slightly different, but the truth of what is being preached will be exactly the same. And that's exciting. And then as part of that church community, we're part of what's called an MC, which is called a missional community, which in our terms here is a life group or a home group. And I love the expression that they use. It's small enough to care, big enough to dare. So it's small enough that everybody is cared for in that community, and it's big enough so that we can go and do things in the community and in the world to help the world. So every group has to have a frontier. And we're part of a MC that I think we're double the age of every single person in the group, but or close. But they accept us, they love us, we are able to speak into their lives, but they are able to speak into our lives, and they do. It's really encouraging, and we learn so much from them, and we feel loved by them. That was a cake that they produced for us on the Saturday night. We had a session during the afternoon, and at the end of it they said, now we've got a cake for Ron, because it was Ron's birthday during this week, and they knew that we wouldn't be celebrating it there, so they had a cake for him there. That's the sort of, that gives us a home. So we have a family there, different, but we definitely have family there. And we just think, so thankful to God, because it restores us. We go to church, which is called Garage, because church begins on Monday. Sunday is garage time. Time to get all tuned up, ready to go to face the world and be the church. And so, yeah, we love it.
The next aspect of God's provision is in the finance to make all of this work. I am on still, yeah? Okay. We're building. Our building costs money, and we have a school, and that costs money. We are incredibly grateful for the way that people from this church and other places have contributed a lot of money towards making that happen. Something approaching nearly $50,000 was contributed in some way, either through sponsorship of individual kids or through the support that the church gives us monthly. It comes to nearly $50,000 in the time from when we went back there in August last year up until now, which is just an incredible blessing that we have, that God has provided for us. And we never take any of that for granted. We are always in awe of the way that you people are incredibly generous to supporting this work. In building to a teacher's college, that's not where that $50,000 went. Now, we did have some gifts before that time, which really covered purchasing the land and the beginning of the first building. But the rest of that, we've just had to find a way. Now, this is not to say, oh, you're wonderful, because it's not about us being wonderful. It's actually about God being wonderful, that our circumstances here have been such that money has become available. Now, that's through inheritances. Initially, a small one from when my parents passed away a few years back, but in more recent times, like last year, when Anne's mum passed away, we received a large sum of money. Now, that's enabled us to do things and get our circumstances here nicely tidied up, so that we've been able to complete the building of a second unit on our block, which is now rented out and generating some income for us. But it just enabled us to get that happening, and has provided some funds that we've been able to then use to make this building happen. And so we are just incredibly thankful to God that's been the case. We've still got some more to build, and God will continue to provide, I'm sure. Another part that's kind of related, I guess, is that we're back here now for a 10-week period. And God has provided us with excellent jobs for that time. So we are both teaching in schools, and Anne is at Oxley College in Chernsow Park, and I managed to land a job at Scots College, which is kind of fun and interesting, and again, a bit different. It's, as you'd expect, it's collar and tie every day, but it's also, I get to be a house tutor, and the privilege of that means I get to wear an academic gown every day for the assembly. So it really is that kind of formal tradition stuff that it still does happen in some schools. So, but it's just an incredible blessing. And like last year, we both had work for this term too last year as well. And I was blessed at that stage that where I was then at Caulfield Grammar, they finished a week earlier than other schools. And so I could do something in that last week that wasn't going to happen. And you know what? Scots do the same. So I will get a week off at the end. I'll get a week to clean the house and prepare to go back to Uganda while Anne is still slaving away at Oxley. But, God has just looked after us amazingly in getting work for us so that we can generate some income when we're back here each year. This provision has been amazing.
So God is at work all the time. And I've talked a little bit about the church, the MC, and what we have seen is that we have found an Indigenous church. We've found a church that came from Uganda for Ugandans and with a heart for their country and then for the world. And that's really exciting for us because we have been doing this and many people... sorry, chair just nearly fell over. and many people have over the years said, so what happens when you're not able to do it? And that's really wise counsel, wise question to be asking us because it's really important that the future is not just that it was about Ron and Anne going to Uganda and this happened and then suddenly it doesn't happen anymore. And so we are excited by a number of things because we feel like God has already put things in place that look to us like a little bit accidental. We were looking at what name to give the teacher training college and we were thinking we really wanted to have the name Vineyard because we wanted to represent Vineyard from here. And Vineyard is also such a biblical concept. And Ron said, I think it should be called Worship Vineyard. Harvest... Oh, sorry. That's terrible. I can't even... get the name of the school. Harvest Vineyard Primary Teacher Training College, meaning because the harvest is ripe and the workers are few, and just that whole concept. But of course, we now go to a church called Worship Harvest. And so the name came, and then the name of the PTC, and then our move to the church. And so it's God's timing and God's provision and God at work so that we know that that's okay. There's nothing in concrete, there's nothing been done, but that's what we see the future and we're excited by that because, to be honest, we have many friends in Uganda and people will tell you that you cannot trust anyone. And unfortunately that rings true in many, many ways. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about in the church or out of the church, but we have found a church where we believe people can be trusted and that means that... And they also have a vision for how to help their country and so and recognise that education is part of that. So when we go back, we will be meeting with the senior leaders of the Worship Harvest, the movement, and seeing what they see for vision and what we're seeing and see how those tie up. But we do feel that God's got his hand on that. We're not going to preempt anything, but that's exciting for us to see that there is sort of an after plan because we always knew that God would have it and he would show it to us at the right time.
Okay. Something that we kind of do without, I guess, trying too much, but... God has allowed us to become a bit of... We model life the way that we think God calls us to, and people see that. And you know, a part of that is in being faithful and doing what we do. Like, why are you here? People will ask us. Well, God told us to come here and to do this stuff. And so for some people, that's a wow. Really, you come all that way and you do this. We model, hopefully, most of the time, what a good marriage should be. And for many people in Uganda, that's just a different concept to what they've seen. And for a husband and wife to actually work together and to communicate with each other is just a really big thing. And so a lot of people, particularly the young people we're sort of close to at the church and through the school and the teachers college, are getting to see something that we believe is a bit more like what God's plan for marriage is. There's hardly a person we know of adult age who has got a mum and dad who are together, or has got both a mum and dad anymore. It's very rare to find someone in their 20s and 30s who's still got two parents who are together. And so to see these old guys hanging around that have been at it for 37 and a half years is, you know, it's a great model for them. And you know, Anne got to speak at a Women's Day event at the church back in March, and somehow just sort of a question came about how do you do things or how do you trust, and she said, look, we've been married 37 years and there are no secrets. We don't have secrets. And that was just, that flabbergasted people. You don't have secrets? You know, there aren't things that you do that he doesn't know about? And that's true. That's the way we work. So we get to model marriage, and already alluded to the fact that we get to model not bowing to corruption. Am I on the wrong page?
But you've got to model corruption.
What?
Go back.
Yeah. Well, we get to model how you deal with corruption, is what I mean, okay? And you know, that causes huge problems. The fact that we don't just pay up means all sorts of things. It makes getting visas and NGO certificates and whatever difficult for us. It takes time. It makes things difficult for the school. You know, our head teacher suffers because she goes to something and people are hard to get along with or won't allow stuff to happen because she actually is told the problem is that they won't do things the Ugandan way. In other words, we won't give money. So that makes it difficult for her, but people get to see that you can actually do the right thing. You can do the right thing, and God will look after you in doing that. And so, yeah, we get to show people that can work. Another thing we get to do a lot of is we do get to do a lot of counselling. And is that our lovely friends? That we don't go looking for it, I can assure you. We don't sort of put up a sign saying, you know, free counselling here. But you know, there are always people who want to come and see us and talk to us. And you know, sometimes people want to come and see us and talk to us because they want money and they want us to give them money. And sometimes we're able to do that and loan the money. But increasingly people are coming and just sharing where they're at and what they are in need and how can we help them. Can we pray for them? And you know, this is actually a young couple who were in a leadership position in a church we'd been in, found themselves pregnant without being married and have been completely ostracised not only by the church but by both of their fathers have sort of pretty much disowned them and are completely against them being together. And they came and saw us and Anne actually asked them a question. So what people have you got who are supportive? And it was sort of like his brothers, both of their mothers, and an aunt and us. And so we were able to just, yeah, pray with them, encourage them, let them know that we will be there and help them. A really exciting thing we got to do just before we came back was to run a seminar, whatever you want to call it, at our church. Because of the way things work in Uganda and what's involved in getting married, it's really difficult to get married. Okay, you have to come up with a lot of money to get married, for the husband to pay a dowry to the family of his bride to be, and it's really difficult for people to generate that money. And so people decide, well, we just need to get on with it without being married. And so we, having talked to our MC leaders, said, what can we do to help there? And so we shared with them, and Felix then took it to the pastor, and so it was agreed we would run a seminar. I might stand up and leave the chair alone, hey? And they gave it the name, Standing Tall While I Wait. And so I actually remembered from a very long time ago when we were both teaching at Oxley College back in about 2000, that Alan Meyer from what was probably called Care Force at the time came and spoke at chapel at Oxley College and talked to the kids there about the theology of sex. And so I went looking for stuff of Alan Meyer's on theology of sex and found several interviews that he'd done and a couple of talks that he'd done. And sort of, if you need to know anything about the theology of sex, look up Alan Meyer, search for intimacy on the internet. It's brilliant stuff. And so we ran the seminar on that, and we had about 90 young people there that listened, and then there was ministry afterwards, and there's a whole lot of follow-up that's happening from that now. So it was just a great opportunity to do God's stuff in that situation.
Just really quickly, we have the chance for fellowship times. That is at an MC, but we also have a fellowship at the school with the discipleship.
That's actually at my first ever baby shower.
Discipleship, which is really exciting. It's really exciting to build relationships with the students and also with our MC. And next one. And we just see a lot of our role is empowering people in all sorts of different ways. We get to empower people because God shows us things to highlight to them. I am very thankful for Di Hocking because she has that gifting and that ability to see things in people and to bring them out. And we learn from people like Di how to do that better. And it's really exciting to see how God is changing people's lives. They have a different outlook and they can see that there is potential for them. And this is a picture of a young guy who now has a block of land and a bit of a building on it. So some of the empowering also comes from financial help, and he was one of a group of orphans that have been supported by a group here. And, yeah, there's many examples of empowering, but I am just wanting to make sure that we...
We get the privilege of employing people as well, and that's been a new thing for us over the last few years to get to that point. There's a couple of guys here. The one on the right is Gad, and he's the funniest guy in the world. Who made that noise? Ah, of course. It needs a few more syllables of that, Sienna, but you're on the right track. Gad's our bus driver, our maintenance man, our counsellor, and he calls himself, well, we call each other, we're partners. So he's a partner in the business. The guy on the left is a mate of Gad's and was sort of hanging around and made some bricks with the brick machine that we'd bought and doing some of that stuff. And he knew that we had some vacancies this year, like with the teacher training college. We needed someone to look after all of the books that we've been able to get a hold of. And we've got quite a supply of books for our library. So we needed a librarian. We also were looking at the idea. We had a new administrator in place and we're thinking, well, we probably, to make sure that person can do what they're supposed to do, we probably need someone to be a receptionist, secretary kind of person as well. Nicholas, who used to be called Blackout, yeah, but Anne renamed him, he's now called Powerhouse. He was hanging around and he applied for both of those positions. And you think, that's kind of weird. He doesn't look like either a librarian or a receptionist. I tell you what, if you want to write a job application, get this guy to do it for you. He was just able to do stuff that we've not seen in any other application that anybody has given us over there. He addressed what the job was, and then he talked about things that he'd done to meet those, that demonstrated that he had the skills we were looking for. We were so impressed by that we thought, well, we've got to have him. So he's actually our librarian. And in a country where nobody reads books, he has managed to open the library up so that kids run there at lunchtime. They run there after school because they want to go and read. It just has amazed me that's happened. But we are excited that God leads us in who we need to have in the place. And we've made some bad decisions along the way with that, and there are some people we've had to fire at different times. But we think we're probably getting better at listening to God just to who are the right ones, who are the people you're supposed to have. So these guys are definitely in that category.
Yeah, just a couple more things. There is quite a number of people that are Muzungu, as in white, married to Ugandans, and many of them are missionaries. And that's a tough gig because it's a cross-cultural marriage, and in Uganda that's perhaps harder than in Australia, I would think. And as well as that, they're away from their home country and they don't have people that understand. And so God's put some of those people in our path, and we're looking at ways to help support them perhaps a little bit more, because education for their children is a big issue about what to do. And so we're thinking and praying about whether we have an afternoon program so children can be homeschooled in the morning and then they could come to the school in the afternoon and be involved in art and music and PE and those subjects that perhaps have a wider, less rigid curriculum in terms of what is needed. And then we are just, as Ron said, so happy about developing community. These guys have become, these are our builders, and God is about building community, and I'm really excited by how God is building community right here at YVVCF. It is just really exciting, and it's exciting for us how he's building it in Uganda with all sorts of different opportunities, different people working together. God gives us ideas. We meet as a staff of 10, and I do the most unprofessional thing possible. After we've had our devotion and prayer, I go around and I hug every one of our staff. But that's just a God thing. God put it in my heart to do, and at that time I connect with that person as a person. I'm not their boss. I'm not their friend. I'm just a person connecting with them, and I'm hearing what they are, and I'm speaking positive into their life. And that's what community is, God speaking into people's lives.